It's so nice to be with you. I came to your weekend away a few years ago, but it's nothing like seeing everyone where you normally meet. You get a good picture of kind of your lives together. It's great to be here and to get a feel for you and be praying for you. We do pray for you. We pray for all our linked churches. We're praying for you in London. And I know that you've got Faith and Ben coming for your weekend away, and we're going to be praying for them, for you, for that time, that it's really significant and life-filled, and that you hear God speaking to you. So we're really glad also, so many of you mentioned a Revive, and we are looking forward to this year's Revive. If you've never been, the brochures have just come out, so they should arrive this week for you, and please look at it, think about it. There are still a few rooms in the house if you're not campers, but I know most of you are pretty solid campers. You know, you're made of solid stuff, not like the Londoners who need to stay in the house or whatever. But, you know, there are still a few rooms in the house. But we're more than anything, we just want to have these opportunities to be together. There are huge amounts of pressures in life, aren't there, in our world. It's hard to know sometimes what to think or who are the people who you can stand with and trust. And that's one of the great things about these times, is that we can stand together right across the church in the nation, from all around the world, actually, and we can worship the same Jesus. He gives us his same spirit and works amongst us, and strengthening time. So do consider joining us if you've never been before. You're very welcome for the first time. Well, I'd like to read from a couple of passages this morning. I'd like to read from Luke 4 and from Isaiah 61. So you feel free to follow them. I'm going to read them anyway. And then I'll explain a little bit about what was on my heart to share with you this morning. So I'm just going to read Luke 4, verse 14 down to 22. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. As was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favourable year of the Lord." He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. He began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips, and they were saying, "Is this not Joseph's son?" You know, though Jesus took those words from Isaiah 61, let me just read the first three verses of Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favourable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting." They're quite famous verses in Christian circles. I don't know if they're some of your favourite verses. I know they're some of mine favourite verses, because they're incredible there in Isaiah. But when you read them in Luke, Jesus says, now these words are fulfilled. As you're hearing and as you're seeing, right in front of you, those words are being fulfilled. Why? Because Jesus is saying this is all speaking about him. It's all speaking about what he is called to do and what he's going to do in the world, and then what we as followers of Jesus are called to do. So I wanted to raise the question for you to think about this morning. Where do you get your Christianity from? You don't have to answer me. You can just have a little think. Where do you get your Christianity from? So your expression of what it means to follow Jesus, where do you get that from? Because let's have a think about it. There's lots of places you can get that from. You can get that from your feelings. You know, how you feel kind of determines what your Christianity looks like. Sometimes you're up because you're feeling great. Sometimes you're down, so you no one sees you for a few months, and then you feel great again, and then you're kind of down. So your feelings are controlling your expression of Christianity, your experience of it. For other people, it's Christian media. So they are watching things on YouTube or on the God TV channel or are reading books. I'm not slating any of that in and of itself, but there's lots of different people with opinions, all speaking lots of different things. So one day we might pray in one way because we've been listening to something and it says, you know, you pray this way, you're going to get all you want, you'll get all the money you need, all your prayers will be answered. So one day we're praying like that, and then another day we're listening to something else and they say, you know, you should just be content with what you've got, so we stop praying that way. So we're just changing our expression of Christianity these ways. And you probably know what I'm going to say, but actually we can come to Jesus and find out what Christianity is really all about. He really is the greatest gift. Jesus is given to you that you can know what this is really all about. And not only does he want to show you and teach you what it's about, he wants to fill you and empower you that you can be like him in the world. That is what real Christianity is all about. So we need to ask ourselves that question from time to time. And I hope you don't mind today, but I'm going to share a couple of stories from some of our ICTHIS workers around the world. One of my great privileges is to look after our overseas work. And I get really motivated and inspired when I think outside of my own life, a bit bigger, in different places, what God's doing, because it helps me get a better perspective on my own daily life. And you know what I wanted to say to us today, when we think about who Jesus is called to be, that actually his gospel, his message is good news to the poor. It is a good news message that breaks in for the poor of spirit, for the actual poor in the world. The good news of Jesus is motivating people to reach out where no one else is reaching out. And the first point that I had here was belonging. But that little story is mirrored all around the world where Christians have discovered who Jesus is. They've discovered real Christianity and their hearts have been changed and they're not just looking after themselves anymore. That life is pushing out through them and they are bringing others in who have never known that they belong anywhere, that they have a family. Maybe that's some of your story. You never knew that there was anywhere that you belonged. I remember when we first started the congregation that I was leading until recently, that we discovered when we first people became Christians that they were coming to church, but they'd never belonged to anything in their life. You know, never belonged to a library, never belonged to any kind of institution. Most of them hadn't, a number of them hadn't finished school. They had no sense of belonging. But here, the good news of Jesus is that this good news is for the poor. It is gospel. His spirit was on Jesus. The Father's spirit was on Jesus because the gospel is good news to the poor. It's at the heart of the message because it brings this sense of belonging with it. It's a free gift to be received. The second thing that was standing out to me about this good news, that real Christianity breaking in, is that it binds up the brokenhearted, we read. That's what the scripture says there. And those who are mourning. So people who are internally in emotional turmoil, that is who Jesus came for. It's quite incredible. If we get hold of that in the culture that we're in, it's powerful. We're not overwhelmed by people's brokenness and pain and trauma in their lives because we have a God who his primary message is to bind up those that are brokenhearted, to deal with people's grief and terrible loss. We also read that this good news for the poor, it causes people to break out of captivity and prison, freedom to prisoners. And, you know, it's also helpful to remember, as far as our Lord is concerned in this world, there are people who are in prison. Maybe, again, some of you, you might have known that as your story. You'd never have told anybody, but you are trapped. Maybe even this morning, some of you feel a bit captive and trapped in your life. Jesus came to set the captives free. That's what real Christianity looks like. Literally, the word there means the doors are flung wide open. It's not a, oh, look, you can come out if you want to. There's a bit of freedom if you feel like it. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, okay. No, it's like a celebration. You're captive. You can't seem to get anywhere in your life. Everywhere you turn, it seems hopeless and there's opposition. Jesus came to fling wide the gates, to show you who he made you to be, to give you a hope and a future. And then this incredible promise that we are received back. That actually Jesus came to receive people back to him, to say, this is the favourable year. it's not just literally 12 months. This is the favorable season. This is the good news. Now Jesus has come. We've entered a period of time where God's favor is so clear to us. He loved us so much. He gave us Jesus. He gave us the power of his spirit. And we can be God's people. We can be received back. You know, someone who writes a lot about the New Testament, particularly also the Old, he said this. His name's Tom Wright. In our world, most people think that wonderful news consists of success, wealth, long life, victory in battle. Jesus is offering wonderful news for the humble, the poor, the mourners, the peacemakers. Jesus' message is completely different. Let's not just think it's a kind of add-on to our life. If we really want real Christianity, it will change our whole perspective. Some people says it turns it upside down. Your whole view on life is turned upside down. Or you might want to say it this way, it's turned the right way round. You discover you were upside down before and now, gosh, this is the right way to live in the world. These are the right values. This is the power that we need more and more in our communities, in our lives. And so when Jesus takes those words and says them about himself, this is what the Spirit of God is. This is what I've come to do. This is the new kingdom I'm bringing in, the new society I'm bringing in. It's a picture of the dynamic reign of Jesus coming into the world. So when we give our lives to Jesus, it's like we are receiving this dynamic reign of Jesus into our life. When he heals your sicknesses, you are receiving the kingdom of God into your life. When he heals your wounds and your deep pains from childhood, that is the kingdom of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the power of Jesus reaching into your situation. You're receiving the kingdom of God. But you see, when it comes, it can't sit together with the world, the kingdom of the world, the old way. The old way that looks after me first. Once I've got my life sorted, then I'll be useful to God. You know, or once I've done this, or once he's answered this prayer, then I'll really believe him. No, Jesus says you've got to have all of me. You've got to take me as I am. I'm going to shift things around in your life, but you'll see my power flow through you in a way you have never known. You know, the Jews had four things that they were expecting when the Messiah came. They thought there were four things they needed to see when the Messiah came. So first of all, they felt the Messiah was going to bring salvation. They'd be saved from their enemies. Secondly, they were expecting to see the Spirit of God would come. Thirdly, they were expecting a new social order. And fourthly, that Satan would be defeated. All S's, if you notice, they're quite helpful. So they were expecting those four things, a breaking in of the kingdom of God. But of course, they had in their mind those four things, but they couldn't see Jesus as the Messiah because they were expecting salvation to be like a military salvation, a political salvation. It's a danger if we think that's the real salvation we need in our society. Is we need political solutions or we need military solutions. Jesus came and he brought salvation to the human heart. Something much more profound, much deeper, full of love and concern for individuals. Real salvation, but they found that so difficult to receive. And of course, we know that Jesus really did defeat Satan. So when his kingdom comes, it pushes out the darkness, as we're going to see in a minute. So I want to just raise our faith, really, at the start of this year, to expect to see the kingdom of God breaking in, to expect to see the real Jesus at work in our lives. He can't be any different to this. This is who he is. It's not some of us get a C grade Jesus and other of us get an A plus grade of Jesus because, you know, they're better, more spiritual than me. It doesn't work like that. It's either Jesus or not. He's either the one who's healing, setting us free, healing us. He's delivering and bringing broken-hearted people into wholeness. He's either that or he's not. And I want to tell you this morning, he's still that today. He's still that at the start of 2019. He still wants to be that in your life and flow through you into this whole area. What opportunities you have, because we've got good news. It is actually good news in this world if we'll let ourselves receive our Christianity from the source, from Jesus. I just want to close by just giving us some other
thoughts about what we should expect to see when the kingdom of God, real Christianity, is breaking in, the real Jesus is breaking in and through our lives. Firstly, you know, it's no surprise, is it? There's a lot of crises for the disciples. One of the crises they faced, if you remember, was they were on the boat and there's that huge, huge storm. They thought they were going to die. They thought this was it. It's over. And the worst thing about it was Jesus was in the boat and didn't seem bothered, didn't seem interested about their crisis and their concern. And you see how the Lord wondered what on earth they were panicking about. And it says that it's almost like he said to the storm, as if the storm was a barking dog, be muzzled. The authority of Jesus is very real and very present in our world today through his people. We have authority in his name in a crisis. People who are living and serving the real Jesus are those that start to see more and more signs of that, is that they can bring a close to crisis. Rather than it escalating out of control, even at the first signs of crisis, they can take authority and see that thing bound, that it doesn't have the terrible effect elsewhere. So in a crisis, we have a God who brings an end to confusion. Crisis doesn't just have to be on a boat in a storm. It can be confusion, things that blow in. We wonder, where did that come from? Didn't even feel this or think this a week ago. What has just come on me? There are winds, demonic in source, that blow into our lives. There is authority in Jesus' name. His kingdom come, his will be done. He can silence the storms. He can release peace in a crisis. You also know this story well, I'm sure, where Jesus was able to feed the 5,000 with the small loaves and fish. And this is a picture of what was left over after the miracle. When there were no resources, the sign of the kingdom looks like resources that are supernatural in origin. In fact, it looks like at the end we've got more than we had at the beginning and we've done so much with it. It doesn't make any human sense. The maths is a different kind of mathematics in the kingdom. And if we know Jesus, he's seeking to teach us more and more how we see things multiplied that we need, resources multiplied, sometimes finances multiplied. I've heard so many stories, and maybe you have, of how even today our God is multiplying food. You think, actually, you know, we've prepared food for 20 people, 50 people turn up, we pray over it, and somehow it goes that far. Our God is interested in the things that we need in our lives. And so often we feel poverty stricken, like we got nothing. And we start to believe that, and we go down and down and down, and we lose the real Jesus. You know, there's so much that could be said about how the signs of the kingdom in healing and hope breaking in. So many times we see Jesus healing the sick, and we see the hope that comes for hopeless situations. You know, where he delivers from demonic strongholds. Deliverance is part of the signs of the kingdom. The enemy's kingdom being pushed out and Jesus' kingdom coming in. In fact, in one place, Jesus said that if he's cast out the demon, the finger of God has come on you by the Spirit. That actually is very powerful activity of the Spirit that can dislodge the even deepest rooted works of the enemy. Again, so much that could be said about that. Also, Jesus raised the dead, raising Lazarus, among others. And that is still active in our world today. You may not have heard of many of those situations. And I know I hadn't once. And I don't know if I told you this story when I was with you at the weekend. But when I'd not long been leading the congregation in Greenwich, I had one of the stories, I think it might have been Lazarus. And I started off by saying, well, who knows? Maybe there's somebody here. And we're probably less than you are today. I said, maybe there's somebody here who's seen someone raised from the dead. And it really, I wasn't expecting an answer. And this lady at the back, her name's Hilda, she put her hand up and she said, yes, Abby, I have. And I was like, well, we've got to hear that, haven't you? So it's like, well, Hilda, tell us about it. And she told us how she was married to a missionary for many, many years, and they lived in Pakistan. And she was now on her own. She was in her 80s. But when they lived in Pakistan, on one occasion, there was a knock on the door, and their Muslim neighbours carried in their mother into their hallway and said, you're Christians, you've got to do something. She's died. You've got to do something. And she describes how the woman on the floor was blue. She said there was no life in her. She said, so I knelt next to the body, and in the name of Jesus, I rebuked death. and pray that she would come back to life. And she said, and in front of us, the colour just changed. She started to breathe and she came back to life. She said it was incredible and everyone was stunned, you know. And she said, but, you know, she said, that family on that date, every year following, would bring a gift to the house. Because even though they remain Muslim, they remembered that it was a Christian who did that for their family and brought that woman back to life. The testimony in that family, who knows where that's gone now, decades, generations later. But every year they would remember it. You see, this is who Jesus is. I'm not saying that there's not complexities, that we don't always see what we want to see when we see it, but we need to gain more confidence about who our Jesus is and start to take some little steps forward. You know, just in a response, I was reading about Corrie ten Boom and I thought, this is normal life, isn't it? Let me read this. I prayed to dispel my fear until suddenly, and I do not know how the idea came to me, I began to pray for others. I prayed for everyone who came into my thoughts. People with whom I travelled, those who'd been in prison with me, because she had been in a concentration camp. My school friends of years ago. I do not know how long I continued my prayer, but this I do know, my fear was gone. Interceding for others released me. If we want to know where to start, we don't have to start with a grand plan or a grand idea, but let's start praying. Let's start praying away the fear. Let's start praying for our neighbours, our colleagues, praying that they would encounter the real Jesus. Pray that our own fear would go to pray for someone. I hear so often stories locally to us of some of the Christian mums and how they have opportunities at the school gate to pray for a sick mum or who says, I'm really ill today, and they're brave enough to say, well, I'm a Christian, can I pray for you in Jesus' name? He heals the sick. And they've been praying for other mums. It's nothing that anyone will ever write an article or a book about, but it's the real Christianity. The good news of Jesus can touch our life and bring healing and restoration. And when we've met him, we can introduce him to others. There is still good news, and it starts with Jesus at the centre. And I want us just to respond, really, by just asking ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Have we in any way let him go for some other idea, other relationship? Do we want to know Jesus this year? Do we want to experience his work in our life and through our life? You know, I'm not going to go into it because of time, but Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And if Jesus says it, he's right. You might disagree and think, oh, no, you're not talking about me. Maybe that's what he's saying to you. He's not saying it to me. He's saying it to all of us. All of us who have given our lives to him. He says, you're now a light. You're now salt. I'm going to use you in this world because I'm in you. And I just want us to respond to that this morning, whatever God is putting on our hearts. So let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for what you're doing around this world. In the hidden places where no one sees, like we've just seen in Myanmar. Lord, what you're doing in Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim nations, where people are finding that Jesus, you are who you said you are. You are the good news for the poor in spirit, the poor financially, the hopeless, the destitute, the mourning, those who are grieving. You are good news. And Lord, you've been good news in our lives. And at the start of this year, Lord, we want to put you center stage and say, Lord Jesus, we want everything that you are. We don't want all the outside bits that maybe even the Christian world can give us instead of you. We want you, Jesus. We want to know you. We want to experience your kingdom power in our lives and through our lives, Lord. We want to pray for this whole estate, this whole community, for places where we live. Lord, give us a vision of seeing the kingdom of Jesus breaking into those areas, of seeing you answering prayers, of seeing your light shine, of seeing you bind up people who are very broken and traumatized and troubled and confused, young people who need wisdom and love. Lord, help us to get a vision of what you want to do, that you are still wanting people who will be your hands and feet, reaching out in faith, knowing who you are. Lord, I want to pray for this congregation, that the presence of Jesus would flood this congregation this year. That, Lord Jesus, you would flood all the relationships, Lord, all the perspectives, all the plans, all the ideas, Lord Jesus, that you take center stage. And that, Lord, there might be many this year who are converted to Jesus. And they may worship with us here, but first and foremost, they're converted to Jesus. They find who is the true light of the world, and their lives are changed. Lord, let us grow in confidence that there is still good news, and it's found in you, Jesus. And the work that you've started, you will complete. Lord Jesus, and I just wonder, as our eyes are closed, if there's any here who feel a particular burden for those that are broken, those that are in prison, those that are captive, those that are poor. In your heart, you think, oh, I really want to see them reach with the good news of Jesus. I don't know how to do it, but I really want to see more and more of signs of the kingdom around my life. And I wonder if that's you and you feel brave enough just to stand. It's no judgment if you don't want to stand. It's totally fine. We may all be in different places. But if you seriously are saying, Lord Jesus, I want to be on fire for you, and I want to see more of the signs of the kingdom through my life, in the small things, in the conversations, then Lord Jesus, do it. Lord, your word says that you take the weak things of the world to confound the strong. Hallelujah, Lord. We all know we're weak. We know our failures and weaknesses better than anyone. But Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that we would have a true perspective on who you are in the name of Jesus. I pray that for any deceptions that have come into our minds about what Christianity is or who Jesus is, I pray in the name of Jesus, you deliver every one of us from every lie or distortion from the enemy in Jesus' name, that we might have our eyes open to who you are, Jesus. Open our eyes to see you again, to be just enthralled and amazed and in wonder at your power, at your life, at your goodness. Lord, flood our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Lord, may we be anointed people by you where you've placed us in Jesus' name. Lord, let your Holy Spirit anointing give us everything we need for our families, everything we need for our workplace, everything we need for our communities, everything we need for this estate where it seems so big. Where do we start? Lord, everything we need is in you, Lord. Release your strategies, Lord. Release your confidence into our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us to start one by one by one. Lord, I want to pray for baptisms this year in this congregation in Jesus' name. Lord, would you bring conversion to Jesus? Lord, a release of joy in someone's heart that they found who you are, and Lord, that you have changed them. Lord, I pray for baptisms, Lord. Pray for the kingdom of Jesus breaking in this whole region. And Lord, those that particularly we're burdened for, oh Lord, just open the door. Make a way where there is no way. Fill our hearts with faith. Lord, where there's a crisis, Lord, may we have faith to pray in the name of Jesus and see those things muzzled. Where the enemy is contesting our lives, I just rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. In any way he's seeking to oppress our lives or make us heavy or hopeless, I resist that wave of depression in the name of Jesus. Say no more, no more in Jesus' name. And that, Lord, you might create boundaries around our lives that are big and wide and joy-filled. Lord, we just thank you what we're part of. And Lord, open our hearts to the poor and the destitute in this world, because you are a wonderful God who loves them, and you're the one who will go after them. And Lord, fill us with faith in Jesus' name. Amen.